brothers and I wish to welcome you tonight in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for a scripture reading, I'd like to go to the 36th chapter of the Doctrine and Covenants, which, as most of you know, it will be on the Brother Enoch. And it's going to be a lengthy reading, but if you'll bear with me, we're going to start with verse 12 of the 36th chapter. And Enoch beheld the Son of Man ascend up unto the Father. And he called unto the Lord, saying, Will you not come again upon the earth? For inasmuch as you are God, and I know you, and you have sworn unto me, and commanded me that I should ask in the name of your only begotten. I'm going to skip down a few verses. And the day shall come that the earth shall rest, but before that day shall the heavens be darkened, and a veil of darkness shall cover the earth. And the heavens shall shake, and also the earth, and great tribulations shall be among the children of men. But my people will I preserve, and righteousness will I send down out of heaven, and truth will I send forth out of the earth, to bear testimony of my only begotten, his resurrection from the dead, yea, and also the resurrection of all men, and righteousness and truth will I cause to sweep the earth as with a flood, to gather out mine own elect from the four quarters of the earth unto a place which I shall prepare, a holy city, that my people may gird up their loins and be looking forth for the time of my coming. For there shall be my tabernacle, and it shall be called Zion, a new Jerusalem. And the Lord said unto Enoch, Then shall you and all your city meet them there. And we will receive them in our bosom, and they shall see us, and we will fall upon their necks, and they will fall upon our necks, and we will kiss each other. And there shall be my abode, and it shall be Zion, which shall come forth out of all my creations, which I have made, and for the space of 1,000 years shall rest. Probably for all my life, especially as a young man, I thought maybe I might get to live and see the day when Jesus returns. And I still haven't lost that hope, you know, and that's been probably about 50 years ago. And, I still hope that I'll see the day that Jesus comes while I'm here in the flesh. And certainly that's something we look for. And I was wanting to read about the coming forth of Zion to start our worship. Let us open our service with hymn 207 and stand for that. Thank you.
Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings. We thank you for this day that we have received. We thank you for the weather, and we thank you for the spirit in which you have sent down to us this day. We would ask that you would continue with that spirit, that your words might ring in our hearts, that we might take them in and put them in our life, that we might reflect you to a greater degree. We ask these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My scripture reading today will come from the book of Luke and the 8th chapter, starting at the 5th verse through the 16th. I think you'll find this very familiar. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said unto you, "It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. And that which fell by the wayside are they who hear, and the devil cometh and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and are saved. That which fell on the rock are they who they hear, receive the word with joy, and they have no root. But for a while they believe, and in a time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they who, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that which fell on good ground are they who receive the word in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, and keepeth what they hear, and bring forth fruit with patience. For no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but sitteth it on a candlestick, that they may enter in, that those who enter in may see the light. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Let's remain seated and sing hymn 431. Thank you.
I'd like to welcome you in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this day. I appreciate those that are here. And I hope what the Lord has brought to me will be fulfilling to you and will uplift you and make this time worth your while. So why do we come together to listen to ministers speak on Sunday? What's the purpose of it? I say this, it is to prepare the saints for what is happening and what is to come. To find the truth within a world that is in chaos. Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You'll find that in John, the 14th chapter and the 6th verse. I've always told the saints I was a pastor in Florida for 10 years, and I was a pastor at Columbia for a year. And I always tell them, whenever a minister is speaking up to you and talking to you, it's important for you to go home and to study and to look at those scriptures. And what I really appreciate here is that you got a pad to write on. And go and find out if what he's saying is the truth. If what he's bringing to you is those things that the Lord would have you to know. It's important that the priesthood that stands up here at the pulpit prepare themselves. That means that they go and they fast and they study and they pray. And if they do that, it's important that the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shines within them so that you can see that light. So that you can learn from those things that the Lord has to be given. The scriptures say that he is to be taught from on high. He is to be taught from on high. I never write the same sermon. I don't come and I don't pull out a sermon that I wrote before. I don't ever do that. I always let the Spirit to touch me and to tell me what should be talked about. I wrote a sermon one time in 15 minutes because the minister didn't show up. I didn't pull out an old sermon. I let the Lord speak to me and allow me to understand what those people needed at that time. It's important for us to be always in contact with the Heavenly Father. And how can we do that? How can we be in contact with that Spirit? What do we do? It's important for us to always pray, to always study, and to always do what the Lord wants us to do. Sometimes that's hard. Because the world comes crashing in on us. And it always wants us to do things that the Lord would prefer that we didn't do. Always comes in and always crashes in on us in our workplaces and wherever we are. So it's important for us to come and listen so that we can learn. That's what our Sunday school is about. That's what our preaching service should be about. It should bring you to the point to where you come closer to the Heavenly Father, to where that Spirit works within your life, that you want to go out, that you want to be close to the Heavenly Father, that you want to serve Him to the end. It's important for us to come to the point and to understand that when we stand here to minister to you, that you need to minister to us. If we come prepared, we are blessed. And if we don't, and we've all done it, there are times we get rushed and we come in and we're not as prepared as we need to be. And we're not so blessed as we were. I remember being a reunion director, and I fasted for 4 days without food. And if everybody knows me, that's pretty tough for me. But I wanted the people to be blessed. And it's important for us to always do that fasting before we stand behind this pulpit. It's always important for us to be prepared so that the people could come close to their Heavenly Father. And I remember being in a priesthood meeting. We were in there talking, and they said that the Melchizedek priesthood is supposed to bring God to you. Well, if that's true, then we have to have that preparation to have God within us to bring God to you. If God's not within us when we're up here speaking, you're not going to feel his power. You're not going to see those things that he wants you to see. I remember being at that reunion, and I remember giving a sermon, and I'm not saying this for me, but one of the sisters, she saw a vision. And behind me, in the seats behind me, there was Joseph Smith, Oliver Cowdery, Martin Harris, and there was a couple of the other guys were there. And she got up the next day and shared that in the prayer and testimony service, that she went, she didn't know who they were. She just seen the men back there, didn't know who they were. This was beyond the priesthood. She said, but she did feel that they were going, I'm at home. What a blessing. So that day she went and he went to the bookstore and she went back in there and she looked through the book and she saw pictures inside that book that had every single one of those men in that book. That's how she knew who they were. But it's blessings like this that the Lord wishes to give people, and the only way you're going to have them is if you're prepared to see it. And I've had so many other blessings and so many things that has happened. And I'm not saying this for Russ, okay? This happened to her. It was something she needed to see. But when we prepare, the people are blessed. When we take the time to study and we take the time to do those things that the Lord wants us to do, we are blessed. So preparation is the key to the truth. But also study of what is being taught from the minister who is teaching. For if he's done his job, he's striving to stand in the stead of Christ. What an awesome task. The seeds that are being sown from the pulpit by those who stand before you, are they being cultivated in your life? Have you gotten to the point that you listen and you get those seeds and you're able to take those seeds and study and be able to prepare, and then maybe a brother, a sister, a son, a daughter, a neighbor might ask you a question, and because you prepared, you can answer it. Priesthood is not perfect. We're not. We're all men of the world. But we made a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ when he called us to our callings to do our best to serve you. To do our best to help you cultivate those seeds in your life. If we go to the Doctrine and Covenants, we go to the 43rd chapter, or section, however you wish to look at it. And you go to the 4th verse. It says, again I say, hearken ye elders of my church whom I have appointed. You are not sent to be taught, but to teach the children of men the things which I have put into your hands by the power of my Spirit. And ye are to be taught from on high. Sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be endowed with power that you may give, even as I have spoken. So we all read that. We all know it's there. We all get to that point. We all know. The priesthood's supposed to be taught from on high. Right? Right? I got a surprise for you. Let's go to Ether. Let's go to the third chapter of Ether. And let's go to the 17th through the 19th verses of the third chapter of Ether. And the brother of Jared also begat sons and daughters. And the friends of Jared and his brother were in number about 22 souls. And they also begat sons and daughters before they came to the promised land. And therefore they began to be many. And they were taught to walk humbly before the Lord. And they were also taught from on high. It wasn't just the priesthood. The members are supposed to be taught from on high. That means as you study and you prepare and you do those things that are necessary, you are to have that spirit flame within your life to where you want to go out and to serve the Heavenly Father to the best of your ability. You don't have to be a priesthood member. Matter of fact, most of the people that I've known that have been, converted to the church have been by people who were never a priesthood member. Their neighbor talked to them, shared with them testimonies that they had, and then called on the priesthood, maybe to come in and do a slide series. And that's how they were converted. Didn't even have to do with the priesthood member. It had to just do with a member that is out there trying to bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. So do you receive the word of the Lord with joy and then let the temptations of life destroy you or what you have been taught? Is those who have the duty to be taught from on high prepare for the service that they are to give? What preparations have you made? Have you been taught from on high? Do you have an honest and good heart to hear the word which is being brought, that you might bear fruit and be a light unto those around you? The seed that you receive might grow not only within you, but also bear record and to others, that they might bear seeds as well, that they might be able to help to cultivate and to even bring others. And I think I shared with you last time, and I know it was a long time ago, that it's important for me. I always used to think, you know, if I could just get my foot in the door, I just want to get in heaven. Let me get the foot in the door. It's important for us saints to understand that we're not supposed to just get the foot in the door. We're supposed to kick the door down and we're supposed to bring others with us. It's not just supposed to be us that get into heaven. It's supposed to be all those around about us, family, friends, neighbors. That's what's important for us to understand. That we all have to cultivate the seed. We all have to water it. We all have to do those things that are necessary. And if anybody's been a farmer, and I never was, I'm pretty hard. I might have grown a pepper or two. And I remember growing a couple of carrots. The ground was so hard, the carrot grew and then went sideways. You know, it still tasted good, but I'm not a farmer. Farmers are blessed to be able to bring forth all the things that they bring forth. There's a lot to it, a lot more than I understand. But it's important for us to bring others in, to cultivate the seeds that we plant, to cultivate those seeds. This is going to also be very familiar to a lot of you. We're going to go to Jacob. We're going to go to the third chapter. Okay, now the seed's been planted. Gone out, we've sown seeds, we've talked to our neighbors, our family, our friends, everybody that we can get a hold of. The seed's been planted. So what comes after the seed? Well, you know, we've already heard that some of them are going to dry up and some of them are not going to be there. But the next thing that's going to come is the vineyard. That thing you planted. That's out there. Let's go to Jacob, the third chapter, the 68th through the 70th verse. And he said unto the servant, look hither, and behold, the last. Behold, this have I planted in a good spot of ground, and I have nourished it for this long time. And only a part of the tree hath brought forth tame fruit, and the other part of the tree hath brought forth wild fruit. Behold, I have nourished this tree like unto the others. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard said unto the servant, pluck off all the branches that have not brought forth good fruit, and cast them into the fire. But behold, the servant said unto him, let us prune it and dig about it and nourish it a little longer, that perhaps it may bring forth good fruit unto thee, that thou canst lay it up against the season. How many times has a servant had to go and tell the Lord, now wait a minute, Lord. Maybe we can save them. Most of the people that are in the ministry, that's what they think. They want to save everybody. They want to. That's what's in their heart. They want to save everybody. And so they're willing to go out and to dig and to dug and do everything that they need to do, just like the farmer would do, just like I did even with the crooked carrot. Still gave it water. Still made sure that I put fertilizer on it. Still did what I had to do. And this is what the servant should be doing. Saying, okay, let's do this. And that just reminds me of the servant that said, wait a minute, Lord, if I find 100 men, will you spare the city? Remember that? Wonder if I find 50. Then it went down to 10. Then it goes down to 1. If I can find one good person. But he couldn't find one. So what can be done that there may be good fruit that cometh forth from the seeds that have been planted? According to the parable of the olive tree, the servant time and again said, let us prune it. Let's dig it and nourish it a little longer, that perhaps it may bring forth good fruit. Now, the parable of the olive tree actually starts somewhere around the 31st verse. I read a little bit on. But the whole thing was, is all of a sudden, the plant starts to die. So that's why he's out there trying to save it, doing what he can. And boy, I tell you what, this just talks to me about what's going on in the church and what's going on in the world today. Just talks to me. Let's go to the 31st verse of Jacob, the third chapter. And let's just read just a little bit of what it says there. Because I don't want to get into a whole olive tree. You have to read the whole chapter 3 of Jacob, I mean, to really understand it. And then I'm going to tell you, folks, if you're not praying and asking the Lord, as it says in James, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, you're not going to understand it anyways. You're going to have His Spirit working with you and helping you out. Starting at the 31st verse of the third chapter, Jacob says, "For behold, thus saith the Lord, I will liken it, O house of Israel, like unto a tame olive tree, which a man took and nourished in his vineyard, and it grew and waxed old and began to decay. And it came to pass that the master of the vineyard went forth, and he saw that the olive tree began to decay. And he said, I will prune it and dig it and nourish it, that perhaps it may shoot forth young and tender branches, and it perish not. And it came to pass that he pruned it and digged about it and nourished it according to his word. And it came to pass that after many days it began to put forth somewhat, a little, young and tender branches. But behold, the main top thereof began to perish. And it came to pass that the master of the vineyard saw it, and he said unto the servant, It grieveth me that I should lose this tree. Wherefore go and pluck the branches from the wild olive tree, and bring them hither unto me, and we will pluck off those main branches which are beginning to wither away, and we will cast them into the fire, that they may be burned. And behold, the Lord of the vineyard, I will take many of these young and tender branches, and I will graft them whithersoever I will. And it mattereth not that if it so be that the root of the tree will perish, I may preserve the fruit thereof unto myself. Wherefore I will take these young and tender branches, and I will graft them whithersoever I will. Take thou the branches of the wild olive tree, and graft them in the stead thereof. And these which I have plucked off, I will cast into the fire and burn them, and that they may not cumber the ground of my vineyard. And it came to pass that the servant of the Lord of the vineyard did according to the word of the Lord of the vineyard and grafted in the branches of the wild olive tree. And the Lord of the vineyard caused that he should dig about and prune and nourish, saying unto his servant, It grieveth me that I should lose this tree." The Lord has us to come and to work with him to try to save those seeds that we put out there. And if we look into what's been going on in the church in the last 30, 40 years, we see that little by little, the main body was starting to rot. And so that he had to go, and it had to be pruned and dug and taken care of. And there were those that were willing to hold fast to the rod, to be able to bring forth those things that the Lord wanted to bring forth. And so they kept working at it, and they kept working at it. And we have the restoration branches that are trying so hard in the wilderness to hold fast to those things that the Lord has brought. But the time will come, for it is short, that the Lord will wait no longer. For what more can he do that he has not already done? I remember another testimony at a reunion. I've had many of my own, but one that was shared with Carol's aunt, uncle. His name is Leo Carroll. He's an elder in the church. And a service was going on, and as the service was going on and the minister was speaking, he looked and beheld angels. And he went over to his wife and he poked her with the elbow and says, "Do you see that?" And she says, "Yes, I see those angels." He says, "Not just angels, legions of angels standing behind the pulpit." Now, despite all these blessings of these two testimonies I gave you at this basically the same reunion, despite all that, Those testimonies were rejected. And how do I know that? Because the next year, instead of having 100 people at reunion, we were down to 50. Despite those testimonies, those blessings, the Lord is working and he's trying and he's doing his best to give you a blessing, to share with you those things that he has, to teach you from on high that you might come closer to him. So, because that happened, again, here the servant is. Just give us a little more time. So the servants, again, are pruning and digging and nourishing, hoping for good fruit to come forth, hoping again for a blessing that the saints would respond and help sow the seed that would bring forth good fruit. Let us go to the third book of Nephi. Let's go to the 8th chapter, starting at the 49th verse to the 55th. Behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and said unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore ye must pray unto the Father in my name, and whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And behold, ye shall meet together oft, and ye shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when ye shall meet together, but suffer them that they may come unto you, and forbid them not. But ye shall pray for them, and shall not cast them out. And if it so be that they come unto you oft, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world. Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do. So Christ set the example. You're supposed to be the light. You're supposed to have Christ within you. So that light shines forth, so that others may see it, that they may desire it, that they may want it, so much so that they're willing to make a covenant like you made. And that covenant is not a passive thing. The covenant that you made at baptism, when you come under the Father and said, I'm willing to follow you, is unto the end of your life and even beyond. You serve to the end. That's what we're told in the scriptures. You serve to the end. You're called to be a light. And today we talked about the love of God. The love of God is the light. The love of Christ is the light that should be in your life. If you have that love towards others, others will crave it. They will want it. They will do everything they can to get it. Why? Because they know it's good. Because it feels good when they see it. They know what it feels like. I wish that every time I went to church and every time I went to a reunion, I was seeing mighty miracles every single time. I really do. And I don't know if sometimes I might be the problem, that I haven't prepared myself enough, or what's going on. But when the time comes when I get to see something, when I get to hear something, boy, that just charges my batteries, and I just want to go and just serve as much as I can. I want to go forth and do all those things that I can do. Wherever the Lord calls me. I remember one time I shared when the guys were all called to the priesthood. They shared, and I shared with them. I says, you know, there's going to be times that you're going to be called into places you don't want to go. So I'm going to share with you. There was this lady in our branch down in Florida when I was a pastor down there. And she decided she wanted to go to Zion, so, and her husband didn't want to go with her to Independence, so she just went. And she got a hotel room, got an apartment place, and she was there. And so she's talking to her husband on the phone, and he's really struggling because she's not there. So when she hangs up with him, she calls me. And she says, Russ, you got to go over and see my husband. You got to see him. He's really having a hard time. He's struggling. He really needs somebody to come and to talk with him. Now, you got to understand, this man, he's 6 foot. He's big and burly. He just as soon put a shotgun in my face as have me show up the door. So I'm a little hesitant. I say, okay. And I start praying really hard. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. But I know I got to go. So I get up, get dressed, take off and go to his home. I knock on the door. He opens the door and there's a broken man in front of me. That was so grateful to see me at the door. Way different experience than I thought I would have. Sometimes, because of ourselves, we're called into places that we don't think we want to really go into. But if we allow the Lord to work, He goes before us. And He takes care of us. Share you one more testimony, my father. His name is Fred Brown Sr., my stepfather. The elder in the church. He gets called like I did. Lady calls up and says, My husband's downstairs with a shotgun and he wants to commit suicide. I gotta have somebody from the church come. So Dad goes. Gets himself dressed, goes down into the basement. The guy's got a shotgun. And Dad just sits down and starts talking to him. Believe me, Dad was just as scared as I was the day that I went. But he gets talking to him about things the guy likes, you know, hunting and different things, and gets talking to him. The Spirit's telling Dad what to talk to him about. And he says, that's a really nice shotgun. Can I see it? The guy goes, oh, yeah. Hands it to him. Dad takes it, unloads that thing, gives it back. The guy goes, you tricked me. There was another minister there. He came down. Dad went upstairs. He says, man, I was so relieved that he was able to do that. But that's because the Lord was there and he helped him. He went before him. He took care of him. Sometimes we go into places we don't want to go into, but we do it because the Lord calls us to do it. Sometimes it's distance even. You know, I've been called before, and I'm going, you got an elder an hour from you. Why are you calling me 8 hours away? And yet, because I was called and promised to serve to the end, I put my pants, my shirt, everything on, I get in the car, and I take off, and I go and do what needs to be done. That's what the Lord calls us to do. He calls us to serve Him and to serve the saints no matter where they are, especially as scattered as we are now. He calls us to serve Him in whatever manner that is, whether it's a scary situation or it's just a long drive. He calls us to serve. So we go forth. So when you come to church on Sunday to learn, and the minister is up in front, if he's done his job, and he's prayed, and he's fasted, and he's prepared, he should plant a few seeds in your life. For God not only gave his Son that we might believe, for that's the beginning, but also that we might do his work, to plant the seeds for all men to grow. For in the last days we shall be saved by his grace, but we shall be judged by his works. If you go into Revelations 20 and 12, and I don't care if you're doing the Inspired Version or the King James Version, it says the same thing. Revelations 20 and 12 says the same thing. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Once you make that covenant to serve, once you are baptized, once you come to that point, you got work to do. You're going to be judged according to your work. It's Christ's grace that's going to save you. But it's also works. It's also faith. It's also a lot of things that have to be done. It's not one thing. You got to read all your scriptures. You got to understand all your scriptures. You got to understand that when you make a covenant, you swear you're going to do what the Lord wants you to do. For the priesthood, that means to prepare, especially for when they're behind this pulpit, that the people might be blessed. I pray for every one of you every day. Every day. My wife even goes beyond that. She takes every individual one by one and prays for them every day. If you're on the prayer list, I guarantee you Carol's praying for you. And she's on her knees and she's in her prayer room and that's what she's doing. And I pray for you every day as a group. And those that I know are in special need, I pray for them. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to pray and to fast and to study and to prepare. So belief is necessary. Faith is the beginning. But the covenant must be made through baptism. And once that covenant's made, we must remember we have to serve to the end. It's required. It's required. Let's go into 3 Nephi. I'll read it for you, just so you understand. Third book of Nephi. We're going to go into the 12th chapter, 29th and 30th verse. And it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endure to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day, when I shall stand to judge the world. And if he endureth not unto the end, the same that is also hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which he hath given unto the children of men. Can't be much plainer than that. Serving to the end. I got a few more things, and before I finish here, let's go into one that's familiar in Ephesians. And I know you know this one. You've probably heard it more than one time from the pulpit. We're going to go to the Ephesians. We're going to go to the 11th chapter. No, I mean, excuse me, the 6th chapter of Ephesians. And we're going to start at verse 11 through 18. This is what we are called to do. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about you with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's important that that Spirit is wrapped around us, that we can withstand that evil day. And having done all to stand, as you plant the seeds that God has given you, may He give you strength in all of your endeavors. May the seed you plant spring forth to many souls, that many souls may be saved. Remember, if you bring but one soul unto Christ, how great will be your joy in the kingdom of the Father. Doctrine and Covenants 16:3f. Brothers and sisters, the task is great that lies before us, and the time is short. Hold fast, remember, our goal is not to just get into heaven, but to bring others also, that all that wish to follow Christ might come in at the gate, that they might make a covenant as we have. As we come to remember that covenant, let us remember the task is not only for ourselves, but for all that we meet. Those that are willing to make a covenant with Christ and come in at the gate, that are willing to serve to the end. As I said before, it's not a part-time covenant, but it's a lifetime commitment which we are to be held accountable for. Pray that the Lord will be with the sowers and all the husbandmen and servants of Christ. For the time is surely at hand, and judgment will come swiftly. You come into this house of worship to hear his servants, to experience the light of Christ within them, that it may grow within you. Believing is not passive, but it is a call to action. As a priesthood along with the Master, who is Christ, dig and nourish and prune. That which is sown may grow from those seeds that have been planted. You too must be alongside the priesthood and labor in the field to bring others to Christ. You know how small we're getting in a lot of our places. A lot of people are not being attended to that need to be attended to, and we're talking about 2, 3, maybe 6 some places. Like the place in Wisconsin where they actually have 20 saints but no priesthood. Those are people that need to be nourished and to be taken care of. When you find them, hold tight to them and help them. Labor in the field to bring others to Christ. Let your light burn brightly, which is the love of God, unto the world which lies in darkness. For it is that light of Christ that is within you that will bring hope unto them. Listen to them who have been given charge over you, but remember Christ is the master of the vineyard and the nourishment that is given unto the seed. His word brings forth the fruit for repentance and the hope that is needed to accomplish all that is laid before us unto the end. The seed is the beginning. The vineyard is the result and where we need to go and work. However, it must be cared for in order for it to survive. Remember, we are all taught from on high. We all have to be taught from on high. We need to listen to those things the Lord has. We need to read his word. We need to hold fast to that word. We cannot waver to the right or to the left. We have to do those things the Lord has called us to do. That others might also be saved. So may the Lord be with you as you plant, as you dig, as you nourish, as you do those things he has called you to do, is my prayer. Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of this day and this hour, certainly we have been blessed by the loving Spirit that has attended each of these occasions throughout the day. Father, we would pray also that we'd be useful instruments in your hand, that we'd be willing to go and to serve you whenever we have a need or wherever there's a need, and not be reluctant to step forward and be that person, be that witness that you desire us to be. We pray for those tonight who are ill and afflicted too, that we might be aware of their need and be eager to search them out, to visit them, and to do whatever we can to lift them up in their hours of need. Father, continue to guide us always and help us to be willing to serve you in any way that you call us to. Thank you for this day, for this opportunity to come and be with friends and share in this gospel. And we ask that you would watch over us as we depart and go to our separate homes. We pray this blessing and favor in Jesus' name. We ask. Amen.